Weren't they wonderful? We never quite know what's going to happen. You know, the story of the birth of Jesus as recorded in the Gospels is a lot like a newspaper birth announcement. It says that life has come, and it tells us who the life came to and where it happened, and that the birth was celebrated by these particular people. And when we invite children to reenact the story of the birth of Jesus in order that they might internalize that story for themselves, the briefness of that birth announcement is really highlighted. You know, it's a very bright and shiny thing we see here. It's very quick, it's very compact, fits into a nice, neat little space. Somehow we managed to condense that long trek to Bethlehem into a short little walk up this aisle. And the labor pains that Mary endured are magically turned into a baby doll being pulled out from under Mary's robe. If only real life were that easy. At a dinner party last week, our friend Christophe, who is from France, told the story of the birth of his son, Otis. Christophe knew from the birth of his first son that things like childbirth take time, and there was really no need to rush. And so when he got the call from his wife that indeed the baby was coming, Christophe finished off some important things that he needed to take care of for work. He told his wife to relax, you know, but ready or not, baby Otis was coming. And eventually, Christophe decided that his wife was indeed ready to be tended to by someone other than him, and so he called a taxi, and they got into the taxi, but unfortunately, there was a huge traffic jam in Paris that day. Now, the taxi driver thought that these things take time, too. And after all, when you're sitting in a traffic jam, there are not a whole lot of other options. He certainly wasn't ready for baby Otis to come. But then at some point, he too decided that this woman needed to be in the care of someone other than him. And so he followed Christophe's directions, and he crossed over to the wrong side of the road, and he drove against the oncoming traffic because this baby was indeed coming now. They made it to the hospital, but not before the interior of the taxi was, shall I say, in need of some attention. Christophe ran into the hospital and said, "My wife is having a baby now." And the old crusty nurse at the reception counter told him, "Oh, all you fathers are always so excited about this, but really it takes a long time for these things to happen, so why don't you calm down and here's some papers to fill out. You know, these things take time." She wasn't ready yet for baby Otis to be born because there was paperwork to complete, more pressing issues to attend, but in fact, Otis was coming. And so it was that in the Otis elevator, on the way up to the maternity ward in the hospital, Otis was born, and that, in fact, is how he got his name. You know, there is nothing quite like the arrival of a baby to remind us of that old saying, life is what happens when we are busy making plans. Ready or not, life comes hurling itself at us with no regard to our preparedness. Sometimes the arrival is a joyful one, the arrival of a baby. You know, Mary and Joseph certainly learned about that not being prepared. I'm sure Mary would have preferred the Matilda birthing suite with some Egyptian cotton sheets, and instead she got a cattle stall. Sometimes what life sends our way is a good thing. Maybe a baby, maybe a promotion, maybe a proposal at work that we've been waiting for, maybe a proposal in a relationship. Sometimes it's great stuff. life also throws other things our way, things for which we are never quite ready. The unexpected notice from the HR department, the shrill of the telephone ringing in the middle of the night, the dreaded diagnosis. And we who live with the illusion that we are in control of everything from traffic jams to labor pains want desperately to keep the messiness of life far, far away. But it is precisely into this messiness of the stable and into the uncertainties of life that Christ comes. And the question for us today on the second Sunday of Advent is, do we believe that? A day or two after baby Otis was born, Christophe went to the government registry in Paris, where all parents go to register the birth and the name of their new child. And so he said to the civil servant behind the counter, "I've come to register my son." And she congratulated him on the joy of this new baby. "Oh, delightful," she said, "a little boy. How happy you must be. What have you named him?" "Louis," said Christophe. "Oh, wonderful name," she said, "such a perfect name. He shares the lineage of the kings of France. Such a fitting name." And she wrote Louis in her book. "And is there a second name?" she said. "Otis," Christophe replied. And then he said there was a long, long pause. And then she took a breath as though she were going to say something, and then she paused again. And finally she said, "There is no such name." And Christophe knew that this woman was never going to approve of a child being named after an elevator company. And so he said, "Well, surely you've heard of the famous singer Otis Redding." Again, a long pause. And then she said, "It will not do." And not to be deterred, Christophe said, "Well, actually, I spent a great deal of time in Sweden, and while I was there, I came to appreciate the magnificent work of the world-renowned Swedish artist, Otis Svensson. I'm sure you understand his importance in the art world." And she sort of looked a little nervous, and then she said, "I've heard of him." And she wrote Otis in her book. And of course, Christophe confessed that there is no such person. No, in Matthew, in chapter 2, we read this. "An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'A virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.'" Now, can you just imagine Joseph in Bethlehem for the census, going up to the registrar's table to be counted in the census? Name, Joseph. Wife's name, Mary. Children, new baby boy. "Oh, new baby boy. Delightful, a little boy. How happy you must be. What have you named him?" "Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us, who will save us from our sins." Don't you just imagine that there was a long pause there? Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, he will save us from our sins. There is no such name. It will not do. You know, perhaps that's what you have thought in your life when things were difficult or painful or complicated. That God could not possibly be with us right now. Maybe you have come here today thinking that or feeling that. Maybe you have rejected the name Jesus because the things that you have said or done at work or at home or while you were away from home are so ugly that you thought that perhaps they could never be forgiven. But the truth is this, that the child who comes to us in the messiness of the manger is the God who could not stay away. He came to share his life with us. He came to give his life for us so that we might have life and have it to the full. And so the good news this Advent is that whether we are ready or not, whether we invite him or not, Christ comes. And I invite you this morning to consider whether or not you can accept him for who he really is and write his name on the book of your life. Let's be quiet with the Lord for a moment.